97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good Tuesday morning. I almost said Monday, but I'm back. And thank you, Carl Middleman. I appreciate that. And Kim St. Ange, good morning to you. Thanks for filling in for me.
You bet.
I was gone.
Glad you're back.
That. Yeah, good to be back. Had a great little trip down to Fayetteville, Arkansas. First time I've ever been to Fayetteville, Bentonville area, and it was beautiful. We had a great visit on the campus. My daughter got to talk to a couple of the professors and some colleges she was interested in, and it was a good trip. And then, of course, beautiful weather for camping. We camped for a couple of days down there near a lake, and it was gorgeous.
Were you having temps in the 40s? Well, actually, you know, we were talking yesterday about, is it frost tonight? Tomorrow? I think it's tomorrow.
Frost this morning.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. No, it wasn't that cold. It was in the 40s at my house. So I think maybe tomorrow in the morning we could potentially see some frost. It wasn't that cold. No, it wasn't. It wasn't miserable at all. The bigger problem was when I go camping, here's what I like to do at the end of a long, relaxing day camping. I like to have a fire and sit out there and chat around the fire and have a cocktail and... They have burn bans on everywhere because it's so dry.
Mm.
So you go camping and you can't have a fire because they're afraid you're going to start a wildfire.
So that's a bummer.
That sucked. But other than that, it was a perfect weekend. We had a great time. And I got some observations on that area. I'll tell you, in fact, coming up, we'll talk more about the last time I went to Arkansas. I've only been there twice. It's only my second trip ever to Arkansas. And the first one was far different. I'll explain coming up here in just a few minutes. Here we are. You miss a day, you miss a lot, and I miss 2 days. When I'm there camping, we have this story break of a possible third assassination attempt, and now we find out from the guy involved that wasn't what it was at all. Apparently, it was completely blown out of proportion, and the guy's actually a Trump supporter. According to him, he's got pictures with Vivek Ramaswamy and all these different big Republicans.
RFK Jr.
He was at the RNC and was getting a picture with Don Trump Jr. My take on it yesterday was I do think that this guy was probably just trying to go, and he, you know, because he's a sovereign citizen, that was why he had all these fake IDs and things like that.
Right.
But it was interesting that the DOJ dismissed it. That was what Hans von Spakovsky was saying yesterday. Why was the DOJ so quick to dismiss it?
He was probably on their radar already.
Well, who knows? I mean, he might have been on their radar, but the last thing they want this close to the election is yet another assassination attempt, right?
Right.
Right. So that news breaks while we're out of town. And then, you know, all these stories about walls and now Kamala Harris is claiming that Donald Trump's going to sick the military on you if you disagree with him. This is the party that prosecutes its political opponents.
And also, how irritating is it that she always says, oh, Donald Trump just lies. He lies. We have to fact check him. That woman lies so much. It's unreal.
He's already been president. You can check his record. I don't think there's a record of him calling in the U.S. military against crowds ransacking towns all over the country, which happened under his watch, right? With the BLM protests and all that. It just didn't happen. So here we go again, the last few days before the election, and you're sensing a little bit of panic on the left. There's only one reason Kamala Harris would agree to be interviewed by Bret Baier. Was that announced yesterday? Did we know that yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah.
After the show.
Okay, right after the show. I mean, I heard it yesterday on my way home, and I'm like, oh, boy. Yeah, and you know, Bret Baier is, here's the good news and the bad news for her. I think Tim Walz probably got a tougher interview from Shannon Bream because she saw an opportunity there. If Bret Baier is smart, and he's no fan of Donald Trump, I've interviewed him before. He and I got into it over January 6th, and he's no fan of Donald Trump. But he will recognize, as a journalist and as, you know, somebody who's often dismissed by the mainstream media, like people like David Muir and these people at ABC News and NBC News, as some lesser than because he works for Fox, he will sense the opportunity here that is in front of him to nail her down on some of these subjects. And I think that he will.
I hope
so. I think he will be extremely hard on her. tomorrow.
Well, she's slipping in the polls, and I think that, especially with the men, she's going after trying to get the black community. I think that is why she's, men specifically, I think is why she's going after Fox News, because that has to be their bigger audience, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a little bit of desperation there. They're seeing some of these internal polls not going the way they want, from what I can see. All right, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Kamala even supports letting biological men compete against our girls in their sports. Kamala is for they, them. President Trump is for you.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a brilliant ad, and part of her concern right now is she's losing in the men category. White men, black men, I mean, she's not doing well. I'm not saying Trump's going to win when it comes to at least African-American men, but he's doing probably the best since Richard Nixon did back in the 60s.
Look at where the stars are in the sky. Don't look at them as just random things. If you just look at them as points, look at the constellation. What does it show you?
Hello. Anybody have any idea what Kamala's talking about? Remember that Eddie Murphy skit, Carl, where nobody knew what James Brown was talking about in that song? Yeah. That's kind of what that reminded me of.
All federal responders in Rutherford County, North Carolina, to stand down and evacuate the county immediately. National Guard troops had come across trucks of armed militia, saying they were out hunting FEMA.
Yeah, this is an interesting story that's developing. I don't know that anybody was out hunting FEMA. I'm anxious to see the guy that they've arrested for this or suspect of doing it
from Boston.
From Boston. But I continue to hear stories of American citizens not getting much help from their government agency down there.
St. Louis Police Chief Robert Tracy showed off the new crime mapping page on the police department's website. The mapping tool has been a high priority for the chief.
This is one of my favorite tools, and I've done this in prior police departments.
Yeah, so we're going to use technology. Now, they've had a crime map. The St. Louis Police have had a crime map for years and years. Well, I wonder what's new about this one. Do we have any idea?
Well, I know they're saying it dates back 6 months and they're going to update it every 24 hours. So I don't know if that one was not being updated on a regular basis like that.
Does it pinpoint stolen police cars that then get crashed?
That would be hard. Well, it happens so often, I think it'd be hard to keep up with, you know?
Yeah, I saw that picture. Wow. It takes some guts to steal a police car, doesn't it?
While in handcuffs.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you have to take the opportunities that are presented to you, I guess, if you're a criminal. Let's hop in and drive off. That's crazy. That's just crazy. So let's hear more on that story, Carl. I want to know what exactly it is that Chief Tracy's hoping to accomplish here.
Tonight, the city is turning to new technology for a safety boost. A new tool is mapping crimes and helping to aim give everyone knowledge to what's happening.
You put it in the address and you take a look at what kind of crimes are happening near where you live and where you work.
It defaults to 3 days worth of crime.
St. Louis Police Chief Robert Tracy showed off the new crime mapping page on the police department's website. The mapping tool has been a high priority for the chief.
This is one of my favorite tools, and I've done this in prior police departments.
When police officers respond to a reported crime, the information is usually posted on the map within 24 hours or less.
Yeah, this is nothing new. They've had this for years, something like it. And I'll tell you how I know this, because I've used it as a reporter at Channel 4, and I've been gone from there for 12 years now.
Yeah. I don't know what's different, if it's the crimes. I mean, they're obviously saying homicides, burglaries, things like that. Those are all going to be reported. But then they point out that domestic assaults, sex crimes, and juvenile crimes will not be posted on the crime map. Which we know that a handful of the crimes committed here in the city of St. Louis would probably fall under at least one of those categories. I'm thinking of juvenile crimes.
Maybe they're going to just update it more often, because the last time it wasn't always as updated as it could have been. But I know specifically when my daughter was looking for a home to rent, And she looked at one in the city limits. The first thing I did was go to that crime map and try to figure out what was going on in that particular area. It tells you something about the neighborhood.
It says the police department previously used a similar crime reporting map with a different vendor. However, the city and police department opted not to renew its contract in 2022, so that service was discontinued. So this must have been their solution.
This is a new one they've got. So, yeah. All right. I just wondered what it was, this new technology was. Maybe just put a shot spotter outside of my door, and that'll just tell me how safe it is, right? How far away was that gunshot?
Watch more people move out of the city of St. Louis after they actually see how much crime is happening in some of these neighborhoods. There are some I still believe are relatively safe, I was living in the city, and I felt safe there.
And what's the bad news they got yesterday? Fleshman Hillard is moving out.
Oh, my gosh. After 70 years moving to Clayton.
Another big one. Channel 4 just moved. They've had a lot of companies opting to move out. They got a little bit of a crisis on their hands, and they're running around like chickens with their heads cut off, trying to figure out how to stop it. And none of them, apparently hasn't dawned on any of them that doing the same thing you've done the last 45 years is not helping. Hello. I hate to be the one to stand here and point that out again, but it's true. There's not a new idea at St. Louis City Hall. It's all the same old stuff. Let's ban scooters, and that'll keep people in downtown St. Louis from being victims of crime, which, of course, didn't work. This is where we are these days. All right, we'll get to a quick break here. Carl, who's bringing us this morning's
national anthem? Hey, Mark, it's the Blues Home Opener today.
Oh, yeah, nice ring you've got
there,
Carl. Where'd you get that?
I got that in 2019 when the Blues won the Stanley Cup.
I remember that.
It's got my name on it and everything.
Nice.
But today, our national anthem is brought to you on the Blues Organ by one Mr. Jeremy Boyer.
All right, welcome back. What are we listening to here, Carl? Exactly.
U2.
Ah, okay.
But you can't hear that on Facebook, Mark.
I see. Welcome back. We are back on the Facebook. Kim, I guess starting Friday, right?
Starting Friday.
There you have it. Glad that we're out of jail, baby. And never got any feedback from them as to why they suddenly they never gave me any feedback after I complained about it. Never heard from anyone. They just suddenly lifted the ban after, I guess, about 30 days. So if that's how you prefer to watch it, we'll stay on there. And we're also still on Rumble and X and all that good stuff. So be sure and share the show. You know, I mentioned earlier I was in Arkansas over the weekend. I've only been there. That was only my second trip ever to Arkansas. And a couple of observations. Number one, the Walton people have done wonders for that place. Bentonville is beautiful. So many Fortune 500 companies have relocated there. I guess in Bentonville proper, like housing prices are off the charts. Like it's a very expensive place to live now. That's north of Fayetteville where the university is. And we drove to an area called past an area called the Pea Ridge Military Park. And we stopped because I was interested to see what a military park was. It's what they now politically correctly call a Civil War battleground. So the sign doesn't say Pea Ridge Civil War Battleground. It just says Military Park. And you pull in and you find out it's a place where, in fact, the Confederacy lost a pretty major battle to the Union there in northern Arkansas during the Civil War. And I remember covering the story back when it happened during the Obama administration. So you're in a place where untold, I don't know how many hundreds of troops died there. There was not a rebel flag to be seen. The Obama administration banned the presentation or the sale of rebel flags at Civil War battlegrounds because somebody might be offended by it. Like, let's just erase history while we're at it. Like, let's act like that didn't happen.
Well, that's what we were talking about as it relates to Columbus Day. I remember covering that for Channel 4 when they pulled down the Christopher Columbus statue. And
yes.
Now it's Indigenous Peoples Day.
No,
and
it's
saw all the liberal
Day.
Politicians, happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yeah.
No, happy Columbus Day.
I had a great Columbus Day. And was very proud of it. And this is just silly. Didn't lose a wink of sleep over the fact that I'm resting my head where on land that used to belong to somebody else, because that's been happening since the dawn of time.
Lots of fences, Mark.
Not a country in the world that hasn't conquered other countries at some point, right? Or people that haven't conquered other people. And now we're all offended by it. Getting us back to the fact that you don't have a right to not be offended unless the politically correct crowd is in charge in Washington, and then they'll try to erase that memory for you. It's a very sad state of affairs. We're going to be back with Kim on a Whim right after this. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Well, I think it's safe to say that, Mark, neither of us, on a regular basis at least, watch the local news. I tend to look on the websites. I make sure I'm up to date on what's going on. So I'm regularly checking the articles. But I'm not sitting down at the 5 or 6 o'clock news and, you know, oh, wow, I have to watch Channel 5. I have to watch Channel 4 and catch up. What's gone on today? I have to know.
I don't, unless I happen to be at my mother's house. She usually has it on.
But that would be maybe the only reason, right?
Seriously, I don't. It's not appointment TV for me.
No, because you know the slant that they're going to take, and it's just ridiculous. I can't even watch the news now with honestly getting frustrated. Well, now the gatekeeper, because that's what you were called when you become a journalist, at least for me, they emphasize how you're kind of the gatekeeper, right? And that's why they're all big on this whole misinformation, and they believe that they somehow are the ones to try to debunk all of these things. Channel 4 has this thing out leading up to the election where they're taking these attack ads that you're seeing against both candidates, and they're fact-checking them. And I find some of these very interesting, and you can imagine what the slant would be on some of these, the information that they're finding about these candidates. So play part of this story for us, Carl.
Irreversible gender reassignment surgery has nearly tripled.
The Holly campaign cites data from a JAMA Network Open study. It shows gender-affirming surgeries nearly tripled from 2016 to 2019. That is true, though the campaign falsely claims these surgeries are irreversible. A study published by the National Institute of Health admits these procedures are complex to perform, but another study published by the NIH details a handful of reversal surgeries with satisfactory outcomes.
Really?
There's been a handful where they were able to reattach it. I mean, give me a break. How did that work? I remember Bobbitt's husband had it reattached, but that's the last successful case I can think of.
Please tell me what a satisfactory result outcome would be from them deciding they want to go back on the surgery that they had. I'm sorry, you had your breast chopped off. I'd like them back on. It's not going to be my gosh.
That's nitpicking, isn't it?
Yes, but it's funny because if you look at some of these stories that they've fact-checked, it just feels like they're going after a lot of the conservatives. Now, I know that they're digging through the documents and trying to find, well, this person worked with this campaign years ago, so clearly they might actually have an ulterior motive here. I get that, but it's just even the way that you heard that one, does it not seem like they're trying to find some little way that they can go after Josh Hawley?
Because yes.
Channel 4 has made it very clear they're not his fan, and I can vouch for that having worked there. I heard the conversations that were had in that newsroom, and I'll tell you, people there that I know are not a fan of Josh Hawley. Okay?
So did they do one on Lucas Kuntz? Did they bother to find some of his fact-checking?
Well, the only one that I've seen said it was, like, potentially misleading. I haven't really seen one that was fake. Yeah.
Okay.
They did one with Wesley Bell and Cori Bush, and I haven't watched the whole thing, but they were trying to say that Wesley Bell had ties to the GOP and that at one point he supported something that was anti-abortion. So it seemed like it was in support of Cori Bush, which is just mind-blowing. Now, what I find funnier is that Channel 4 got a little bit of national attention, if you want to call it that, because a very well-known personality decided to talk about them. Listen to this one.
KMOV St. Louis, and this aired in May of 2023, several months before Missouri passed a law banning child butchery in hospitals in the state. Watch as the news station declares flatly that no children are undergoing trans surgeries in the state. Listen.
Another statement from A.G. Bailey was, mutilating children for the sake of a woke leftist agenda has irreversible consequences. Suzanne is the mother of a transgender teen.
At least in Missouri, nobody under 18 is getting this gender-affirming surgery.
So this is the kind of reporting we've all heard seemingly millions of times. You're a bigot if you claim that kids are being surgically mutilated. You're spreading misinformation.
You recognize that voice, right? Matt Walsh.
Oh, it was.
That's
yeah.
Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire. That was on one of his most recent episodes from October 9th on the Matt Walsh Show. It is the media lied about child gender surgeries.
Yeah.
Well, so finally, he can fact check the quote unquote fact checkers.
So they're taking. So what Channel 4 story? They took the word of the mother of a transgender child.
Yes.
Instead of going and checking the actual with the transgender center at Washington
it,
University.
It appears so.
Yeah.
And this was done, and as it was pointed out in Matt Walsh's little podcast there, it says, I mean, they were talking about things that were happening before that law was put in place last year that was saying you can't do any of this. And remember the WashU clinic kind of quietly shut its doors after sure. that whistleblower came forward? And then there were all the local media was doing stories about kids still qualify for care, but this WashU clinic won't provide care for these kids because of this evil law, da da da. I mean, all the things that they said. I understand that local news wants to fact check, and I get it. I mean, me watching Kamala Harris stand up there on at a podium and say that Donald Trump wants to use the military against people who don't agree with them is just, well, to use your word, Mark, it's hogwash.
It is hogwash.
It is hogwash. And that's very frustrating. So part of me I do think that's a good thing. But when you have media outlets that clearly have a slant, what's the point? I mean, you're not going to get a clear picture of whether something is true or not because they're going to put their own little bias in it.
Well, I mean, and I think there was probably a time in America where they didn't as much.
I agree.
But when you are the gatekeeper, you're keeping what comes in and what goes back out.
That's
and
right.
Basically, that means you're determining what people get to hear. What facts they get to hear gets filtered through your viewpoint at the end of the day, right? I mean, that's
yes.
basically what it is if you're the gatekeeper. And you don't have to go back very far. I'm sure I can find the Biden here, where Barack Obama and others lament the fact that we can't go back to those days when Americans were only getting their news from three different sources, ABC, NBC, CBS, and maybe the New York Times. And, you know, they all had pretty much the same information is mm-hmm. what Barack Obama wanted. He didn't want misinformation, which means information he doesn't agree with, to get out to the masses.
Right.
That's what they want.
Right. Well,
they don't want it.
You have Hillary Clinton saying that the media needs to be regulated, more tightly regulated, because of all the misinformation. You say you have John Kerry saying that the First Amendment is a roadblock.
Yes.
I mean, that is a serious problem. And I even was listening to the White House press briefing when you were gone, and they were talking about all this misinformation, as they're calling it, as it relates to Hurricane Helene relief efforts. And I heard two reporters ask Karine Jean-Pierre something to the effect of, what are you doing about these media companies and the lies, the misinformation that's been spread on them? Have you been working with them? They need to be regulated. Are you pushing them to be more tightly regulated? That's our media. That's the national press asking those questions.
It's
That's what
Raditz.
They want.
You know, I know you've said that Venezuelan gangs are taking over Senator Vance, but I mean, there have only been 9 incidents of it.
If there had been 10 or more, I'd be worried. 9, it's fine. Stop freaking out.
This is the cocoon that the mainstream media lives in. I mean, yeah. In their mind, if it's only 9 apartment complexes that have been taken over by armed Venezuelan gangs, why is that? That's not a big deal in the scope of things, is it, Senator Vance? And he's like, Martha, listen to yourself. This problem wouldn't have happened if we secured the border.
Did you see
it wouldn't have been here.
Did you see what Bill Clinton was talking about? He
yes.
was talking about Lake and Riley and how if these immigrants, the newcomers, as they call them, had been properly vetted, this wouldn't have happened. It's funny how even Walls, and I'm sorry if I'm taking half your sound, but even no. Walls was out there saying, we can have 4 more years of this. It's like these candidates, I guess Walls would be the candidate, but Clinton, they don't realize they're basically writing campaign ads for Donald Trump. You're right. We can't have 4 more years of this. You're right. Had the illegals like the guy who killed Lake and Riley been more properly vetted,
yeah.
that could have been prevented among many other cases.
He basically did a campaign ad for Donald Trump. Bill Clinton did. I'll play that for you. I also want to talk more about Elmer Fudd hunting wabbits. I'm sorry, Tim Walz with a shotgun that he didn't know how to unload. For God's sake, this is a man that claims he's been hunting since back in the day in Nebraska. That was an awkward video that the campaign released of that dude. We're going to talk more about it coming up in just a minute.
You had a case in Georgia not very long ago, didn't you? They made an ad about it, about a young woman who'd been killed by an immigrant. Yeah, well, if they'd all been properly vetted, that probably wouldn't have happened. But if they're all properly vetted and that doesn't happen, and America is not having enough babies to keep our populations up. Okay. So we need immigrants that have been vetted to do work.
I'm Donald Trump, and I paid for this ad. You know that's next, right? Of course, they'll cut him off before he gets to the point. We're not making enough babies. We need immigrants. We're not making enough babies. Bill Clinton, that was an awkward moment. You could hear it in the crowd. They're like, why is he talking about Lake and Riley's case? Don't bring that up. That's not a good example to bring up. And he admits that it happened because we're not vetting the criminals we're letting across the southern border.
Mm-hmm.
He admitted it, the problem.
You could tell people in the crowd didn't know what to do, so they're like, woo!
And you could tell that maybe he realized that he had screwed up, and he tried to move on to the explain why we need immigrants, but we do need them to be vetted.
And Donald Kamala. Trump agree. He's talked about that. I think all of us conservatives, we know that immigration, we know it's necessary. We just want it to be legal, and we want them vetted.
Thank you.
Donald Trump supports that, too.
I don't know anybody who's against immigration as long as it's done legally. But I'm still working on getting the lady on here who I met through Uber, who immigrated here from Africa 16 or 17 years ago, and she's pissed off at what she sees going on right now. People cheating the system, breaking into the country, creating crime and a drag on the system, where she's busted her butt to achieve the American dream, to own a home, to see both of her sons, who she brought here as small children, go on to successful lives as American citizens. And I'm going to get her on, I promise, in the next week or so. She just started a new job. I want to get her here in the studio to tell her story to you. And I told her it's so important that we tell the story before the election. People need to hear from you. And she promised that she would come in. But that bite with Clinton takes me back to Arkansas, because you know he's from a small town in Arkansas. The last time, Kim St. Ange, that I was in Arkansas, you know why I was there? It was the early 90s.
Was it a Clinton rally?
It was not a Clinton rally. I was sent to Arkansas to interview the guy who was at that point considered to be the grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, who had a compound somewhere in Arkansas. And we went down there to interview them about, you know, they were trying to, I don't know if you remember a guy named David Duke, but he ran for political office in the United States. He might have run for president. I can't remember. Did he run for president? But he was a former member of the Klan. And at that point, they were trying to clean their image up for whatever reason. And we tried to go down and do an interview with this guy. And that's so my recent trip to Arkansas is only my second trip. The first one was to interview a member of the Klan, which I don't know if they're still active down there or not. Hell, they were on the bypass or the overpass here at Mason Road and 40 last week. The members of the Nazi Party. So you know that stuff is still going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I think of Bill Clinton, I think of Arkansas.
I just can't get over how much different he sounds. I don't know. Maybe I just haven't heard him speak in a while, or I haven't paid his close attention.
Oh, yeah. It's awful. But play just 10 seconds of that clip again, Carl.
You had a case in Georgia not very long ago, didn't you? They made an ad about it, about a young woman who'd been killed by an immigrant.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if they'd all been properly vetted, that probably wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, see, he's almost lost his voice.
I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false.
Maybe Diddy could borrow whoever gave him that crisis communication, you think?
Bill, I need a favor. You have experience in lying
relations
and
with those
vehemently
minors?
Denying stuff? You
yeah.
actually did?
Woo!
Can we talk?
Baby. Bill is fading there quickly. Same age as Sammy Hagar, I want to point out. But his voice is coarse from screaming at Hillary all those years, if I had to imagine. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk more about what they claimed was another assassination attempt of Donald Trump.
Get more at 971talk.com.